This is the official Euro 2024 podcast.
Nothing could separate France and the Netherlands. We look back at the game that finished level in Leipzig.
In the same group, it is liftoff for Austria at Euro 2024.
Brilliantly finished by Marko Arnautovic. Szczesny given no chance. Big occasions demand big players. And Marko Arnautovic does it time and time again.
Ukraine are celebrating too after a vital victory over Slovakia.
Yaremchuk after it, getting there and scoring! What a moment for Ukraine! Roman Yaremchuk with what might be the match winner! We'll also look ahead to Saturday's games, including Turkey versus Portugal. Hello, I'm Rob Daly and welcome to the Euro Show. I'm joined by co-host Chris Parrott, as well as former England goalkeeper Karen Bartley, commentating on the tournament in Germany. And she joins us from Frankfurt. Karen, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Join us moments after the full-time whistle between France and the Netherlands. What are your immediate thoughts after this 0-0 draw?
Immediate thoughts was I was really hoping there were going to be a lot more goals in it. It was one of those even games, I think, where both teams just kind of were trying to fill each other out, try not to make too many mistakes and limit opportunities. I thought, you know, France had some good opportunities, and it looked to me like the Dutch were just essentially trying to play on the counter.
Looking forward, Karen, to getting your views on both of the goalkeepers tonight who were really, really good. Great scenes at full-time. Lots of mutual respect on the pitch. Rob, Kylian Mbappe, who didn't play, walked on, had a long conversation with Gini Wijnaldum, who he used to play with at Paris Saint-Germain. And you sensed at the end that both teams, I think, were pretty happy with a point. And what it does do is makes Group D absolutely fascinating going into the final games. Netherlands lead the way on 4 points, just ahead of France on the same amount of points. Then come Austria on 3 points and Poland on 0. So that is all to play for in a section. When the draw happened in December, you thought this might be the one to watch. And match day 3 is going to be an absolute belter.
We're going to get into it, of course. We're on every night just after the final match of the day finishes, and the show will be made available as the official podcast to download every night too. Plus, Chris, we want people's thoughts.
We certainly do. Get in touch on the day's action via X and message us using @Euro2024.
Okay, let's start our review of Friday in the east of Germany, then Leipzig, to be precise, for the big one between the Dutch and the French.
Yeah, and it was set up as one of, I think, the clashes of the group stage, maybe along with Spain against Italy, actually, in terms of history of the two nations, the players that they have on show, actually, at Euro 2024. And despite the fact there were no goals, there were an awful lot of chances.
There certainly were. Let's get on to the Kylian Mbappe point here, Karen, as well, because it was a major discussion. He broke his nose against Austria in that first game. He's wearing the mask. We saw him on the bench, but he did not start and he did not come on. First of all, what did you make of the French attack without Kylian Mbappe in it?
Yeah, you know, I thought Thuram was okay. Got through a few times through the midfield, but I thought, you know, particularly down the left side, I thought Griezmann did very well to kind of drift out left, but then also inside. And, you know, Griezmann I really like because he picks up some really great space at the edge of the area in and around the penalty spot, and he knows kind of when to put the brakes on and let the back line drop. And he created some opportunities, you know, but it was just a bit misfiring in front of goal. I think Rabiot is a bit, you know, he was dangerous, but some indecisiveness in front of goal. So I think it was quite fluid, to be honest, attacking, but kind of no end product, unfortunately.
Interesting that you pick out Adrian Rabiot there, because he had a chance when he might have shot and he tried to square it to Antoine Griezmann and it went just behind him. Griezmann had another shot which was really well saved by Bart Verbruggen. And then we had the ball in the back of the net late on. Xavi Simons thought that he had won the game, but it was disallowed for offside. Denzel Dumfries was standing next to Mike Maignan, and I think the officials ruled that he couldn't dive because of where Dumfries was, and therefore the flag went up, and that's one of the main reasons that it did finish goalless. By the way, I think it's the 21st game of Euro 2024. It's taken a long while, but we have had our first scoreless match.
I wonder as well, Chris, we saw Mbappe on the bench getting quite animated. He looked relaxed. He was doing part of the warm-up. Had there been more on the line, and in truth, a point's not bad for either team,
I imagine they could have chucked him on. But maybe a scenario tonight where they thought, actually, we can save him for now and let him recover.
And they have such great tournament experience as a group and their coach in Didier Deschamps that I think you're right. We'll obviously never know, but maybe the case. And it was interesting, though. He, body language, looked pretty positive, particularly at full-time. He walked on, he smiled. I mentioned that he was chatting to Wijnaldum. He was kicking every ball on the bench. So I think the fact he's there and we saw him warming up in the mask can only be good news ultimately, because when he went off against Poland, there was a real fear. We heard from Didier Deschamps after that game that, you know, this might be something that might keep him out for longer than perhaps it will ultimately.
Karen, have you ever played with someone who's had to, you might have had to do it yourself, but play with anyone who's had to wear a mask like Kylian Mbappe is going to have to do for this tournament?
Not one so pretty. No. I've played with a few people, actually. I cast my mind back to, I think Georgia Stanway had one at one point. It was like a really fancy black fiberglass kind of mask, and she looked a bit like Zorro, which was quite funny. And then back in 2009, this is a throwback, Faye White, England captain, ended up, I think, fracturing her cheekbone in either quarter or semifinal. Ended up having to go, no, it was a group stage, I think, having to go back, have an operation, have a mask fitted, come back, and then she just carried on playing after. I think she missed one game in this whole situation. And then she ended up playing in the final. And I saw something recently that she put out on social media, and she was just saying that, you know, you will literally do anything you can to put yourself in a position, particularly in a major tournament. So I'm sure that's how Mbappe is feeling.
Yeah, I think he put something similar on social media. Chris, I know you wanted to touch upon the goalkeepers.
Yeah, I thought they were exceptional, and actually in both of their games so far. Karen, Verbruggen is the youngest goalkeeper to play at a Euro in 20 years. What have you made of him? And also, I guess Mike Maignan is a bit older, but he's had to come in and replace Hugo Lloris, and what a start to his major international career he's had.
Yeah, I mean, those are some big shoes to fill, aren't they, replacing Hugo Lloris? And I still think it's quite funny, to be honest, to see a French side without him in goal. But I think Maignan's done exceptionally well. You know, he handled some pretty interesting efforts on goal tonight, a few dipping shots, you know, can be quite difficult to deal with if you get your hands mixed up, which we have seen throughout this tournament already. But no, he handled everything really quite competently. He's a good shot stopper, so I think he looks perfectly in place and quite natural behind that French back line. And as for Verbruggen, I think, you know, he's tremendous. He's so young, as you say, and, you know, he's had quite an interesting rise to the current position that he finds himself in. Please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was Anderlecht, and he was playing with either the 23s or the B team, and he got called up, and he made some, you know, obviously a good impression, ended up going to Brighton, and, you know, it was kind of back and forth between him and Jason Steele, and clearly edged himself into a favoured position under the Brighton manager, De Zerbi, and he's absolutely thrived, so well done, Bart Verbruggen.
Yeah, he's been excellent. We've got more thoughts of former goalkeeper Karen as well. Chris, you wanted to bring up the Oranje, the Dutch support that were just unbelievable again in Leipzig.
The aerial shots earlier today. It's not just because they're in orange, but just listen to them. It's the end bit that gets me when they really go for it.
What are they doing here?
A Dutch jig. Ready?
Chris is dancing. You can't see that.
I mean, don't you just want to be involved in that? They're behind again, this double-decker bus. It happens a lot when they play at home. I remember being at Euro 2017, the final in Enschede, when the Dutch were there. And it was incredible to view, actually. And they're all going from side to side. I'm going to use an English phrase. It was a bit like a barn dance, frankly. But, I mean, it looks fantastic.
I didn't think we'd end up getting here this early into the show, but... It did look mighty impressive. And in truth, Karen, given the stature of both teams, they're both on 4 points, you know, they won't necessarily be dancing into the night tonight, either set of supporters, but it's a decent result for both teams.
Yeah, I think, you know, would you be happy with a draw each? I think in the group stages, you're just more concerned about getting through. It's not a loss. So I think, you know, if you're focusing on tournament football, as the cliche goes, I think, yeah, you're okay with the result. I think both sides would agree that their performances can improve.
Next games, by the way, and we'll discuss this in a bit more depth later, France play Poland and the Dutch play Austria. The other match in Group D did involve Austria against Poland, with both sides needing a win in Berlin.
Mueni with a cross. And what a header by Gernot Trauner. Poland could deal with the long throw from Mueni, but they couldn't deal with the follow-up. Come at home in some style by Trauner. People thought about coming, but decided to stay back on his line. And Poland a level. Krzysztof Piątek, a real defensive model for Austria. And Poland draw level. And Austria here are in front. Krzysztof Baumgartner with what for him is a trademark late run. Brilliantly finished by Marko Arnautovic. Szczesny given no chance. Big occasions demand big players, and Marko Arnautovic does it time and time again.
Tony Jones on commentary there. Yes, it finished 3-1 to Austria against Poland. For more on this, let's speak to our UEFA reporter for the Austrian national team, James Thurgood. James, thanks for joining us.
Good evening, guys.
Brilliant performance from Austria. That was the real Austria, it felt like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their performance against France was nothing to be ashamed of, because while they didn't get a goal themselves, they did really well to keep France in check. But of course, that's France. That's one of the best teams in the world, one of the favourites for the tournament. They accepted the fact they conceded what they felt was a very unlucky goal in that one. But they all talked about the improvements they needed to make off the ball and on the ball. And I think we saw those play out today against Poland. Yes, there was a bump in the road in the first half or towards the end of it. But really, this was Austria much closer to the peak of their powers.
Watching on, and I don't know if this rings true given you're around the camp speaking to the players and Ralf Rangnick, they almost look like a club side playing together, that kind of spirit they have. Would that be fair?
That's very fair. It was one of the big talking points coming into this tournament, how tight-knit this Austria team were. You've got players that have been playing in each other's back garden since the age of seven, like Marcel Sabitzer and Michal Gregorit. You've got Niklas Seiwald, who's known Matthias Seidel since the age of six. I mean, these guys have all come up through the youth ranks of the Austrian national team as well. A lot of them have actually played under Michal Gregorich's dad, Werner, who's the under-21 head coach. I had a talk with him today. 20 of the current 26 players came through his stewardship in the under-21s. Wow. He said he was incredibly proud. It made him even more nervous ahead of a game like today, because he has fatherly feelings to more than just Michal, his son. But ultimately, it's the impact that Ralf Rangnick's made as well. He's brought this team together. He has made them more tight-knit. They take a lot of joy coming together as a team, whether it be for international friendlies or media access days, anything. They find joy in it all. And it really does show, because that was what I was told before this tournament. But having been close to the team, having seen it personally, it really is a special group of players they've got.
Let's hear some of your interview with goal scorer Krzysztof Baumgartner.
It was a do-or-die game. We felt a lot of pressure on our shoulders, but yeah, we won this game, and this feels amazing. In the end, it's all about scoring. You play between the 16-yard lines, but in the end, it's about what you do in this situation. We were better today than in the last game, and yeah, that's also why we won the game. I hope I can continue like this, but it's not about me. It's about the club, about the nation.
James, talk to us about the tactics, because you know, you mentioned the roots of this team and how far they've come together. Ralf Rangnick is a kind of late addition to the story, but the way they play and how they manage to hurt Poland.
Yeah, and I mean, his fingerprint is all over it. I think it's fair to say there were some teething problems with the Austrian national team when Rangnick first took over, but now we really are seeing them as a well-oiled unit. It's high octane, it's high intensity, it's high press. And you saw in the first 20 minutes today against Poland just how uncomfortable they can make life for teams. But you also saw it against France in the first group game, admittedly. And while they took their foot off the pedal a little bit too much tonight towards the end of the first half and got punished for it, I think we saw them really push on in the second half. We saw them a lot more focused in training, and ahead of this game, there was not as much joviality to the whole process. And then I think in the second half, we saw that concentration, that focus really play out with quite a phenomenal second half performance that really, I think that sets the standard for them. They're not at their best yet. I think this is something that Rangnick really has brought in along with his tactics, is the demand for more. You know, an Austria team maybe 3 years ago at Euro 2021 or even before that would have looked at the 1-0 loss against France and gone, there's nothing to be ashamed of. We can be quite proud of that. But Rangnick has instilled a mentality in this team that says, no, that's not good enough. We can do better. And we saw better tonight against Poland. And the aim now for them is to really just continue improving.
And how impressive was Marco Arnautovic, who actually looked quite emotional after his goal and during the game. You could definitely see what this result meant to him.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a man that's been there and seen it all with Austria throughout his career. I mean, at club level as well, he's certainly had a fair share of experiences. But I think today was a very special one for him. And you're right, he was a little bit emotional talking after the game as well. The Austrian players, actually, including Arnautovic, spent a long time with their families in the stands after the game, which I thought was a really nice touch as well. And you could see just the reception he gets as a player, the respect he commands. He is the elder statesman. He is the man that's been to many of these tournaments before, unlike many of these players who are here for the first time at a Euros. And I think they are really leaning on his experience, his character, and the fact that, you know, he takes everything in his stride. He never seems to be someone that gets rattled by situations. That's why he steps up and takes the penalty at a crucial moment of the game tonight. But it's nice to also show the fact that we saw his human side in the way he did react to how important this game was and how important the win was in the end.
James, we'll catch up with you ahead of that huge game with the Dutch on the 25th. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, guys.
UEFA's Austria correspondent James Thorogood speaking there. From a Poland point of view, Chris, you look back now to the start of the tournament. They've had a couple of defeats. Mm-hmm. How unfortunate to come into this championship without a fully fit, best player, captain, striker, legend Robert Lewandowski.
Especially in this section of all the sections. No room for error with France, Netherlands and Austria, who I think, as we mentioned...
You have to get at least one win, don't you, basically?
Yeah, and all three of those nations genuinely will be, if they make it through, will really fancy their chances of going deep into this tournament. So the fact that Robin Lewandowski got on the pitch was clearly a positive for Poland. The fact that he wasn't able to start either of their first two games is something that they will ruin. You know, you need that bit of luck in tournament football. You hear that from every coach and player that's ever won it or lost in a final. And Poland certainly didn't get that with him being ruled out for these games right on the eve of Euro 2024.
The irony being the players who did play up front did score, like Piontek did in this game. OK, Chris, the standings.
So Group D, Netherlands on 4 points at the top, just ahead of France, also on 4 points. Then come Austria on 3 points and Poland on 0 points.
Yeah, on the 25th of June, the Dutch take on Austria in Berlin, France, Poland in Dortmund. Coming up, Slovakia versus Ukraine, and we touch on the day's other stories at Euro 2024.
UEFA Euro 2024 is setting the pace for sustainability in sports. This summer, matches have been organised in regional clusters, reducing team flights by around 75% compared to Euro 2016. This also means fans can enjoy a smoother, eco-friendly journey between games, helping to ensure sustainability is at the heart of the tournament.
And a reminder to download the official Euro 2024 app where you can do your fantasy team and vote for your favourite goal from the first round of group games.
Which is very difficult, to be honest. The shortlist available right now. You have until midday on Saturday to pick your favourite, so not that long anymore. Among the choices, Nico Barella's finish for Italy against Albania, Nicolai Stanciu's stunner for Romania against Ukraine, and those two bangers, Mert Mulder and Arda Güler for Turkey against Georgia.
OK, to Group E next, where Slovakia, who knew a win would put them through, faced a Ukraine side looking for their first point of Euro 2024.
Harrison will leave it for Hansko to take, and he's got it across, and Trantz has done it again! Ivan Trantz with another early goal for Slovakia. Here's Zinchenko. Good ball, must be 1-1. Mikuláš Šaparenko for Ukraine. Yaremchuk after it, getting there. With what might be the match winner.
And it was Mark Scott on commentary there. Karen Bardsley, former England goalkeeper, is with us. And Karen, an entertaining game and one that switched. The power dynamic of the game switched.
Yeah, it really was. It was certainly a game of two halves, I think. In the first half, Slovakia were certainly on top. I think they looked like they were really well organized and committed to defending and looked difficult to break down. There was a lot of solidity and security through the midfield, particularly from Lobotka and Duda. I think they really, really dominated. And Haraslin looked really dangerous down that left side. And they had their chances, you know, when Ivan Schranz scored at the back post. It was a really good header in terms of he headed it down and it was difficult to deal with, but ultimately it was poor marking from Zinchenko. And then that was kind of where the tide started to turn. Things were going okay, struggling a little bit with defensive transitions. And then the second half just kind of really changed. You know, I think Ukraine really grew into the game, eventually starting to dominate, had everything to play for, obviously. And then opportunities were starting to come through the counterattack. And I think with that equalizing goal, everything just changed. I think the entire stadium really got behind Ukraine. I think there was so much belief in this squad. You know, obviously Mudryk ran forward with the ball. It was a good ball out to the left, a really good cutback. Shaparenko just glided in completely unnoticed into the area, and it was just a really calm finish. And then, like, literally everyone just went nuts. It was just amazing. And then the second goal was even better, you know, in terms of that touch, being able to bring it down, you know, in terms of Dubravka coming out, closing the space. It was just really, really an exciting game to the end.
We heard that from Mark's commentary there. He was actually alongside the former Republic of Ireland international, Matt Holland, in Düsseldorf, and he's with us now. Matt, thanks for coming on.
No problem at all. Good to speak to you guys.
First of all, that winning moment for Ukraine, that winning goal, what was it like in the stadium when Yaremchuk won the match?
Yeah, it was a fabulous atmosphere and a deserved victory as well for Ukraine. I thought they were excellent in the second half. Obviously, after the disappointment of the first game, and then going behind so early in this one, it was a difficult one for them to come back from. But I thought they started to assert their control at the back end of the first half. In the second half, I thought they were excellent. And what a goal and what a moment to win it as well. Yaremchuk's touch and finish was terrific.
Matt, you scored a few goals yourself, including in international football. Just how hard a skill was it when that ball dropped over his head to touch it and finish it so quickly?
Yeah, it very difficult, I can tell you. I thought for a moment that he wasn't going to get there. I thought the ball was just going to run away from him. But the first touch was absolutely sublime, the way he just brought it down dead. And then he had to get his touch away really quickly. He probably didn't get the contact he would have liked to have done, but I think he got enough of it anyway to get it over the line. But yeah, really difficult skill. Fabulous ball as well from Shaparenko, who obviously scored the first as well to get them level.
And was UEFA player of the match as well. Serho Rebrov, the Ukraine head coach, has said he changed things in terms of that high press and he felt the players off the bench improved the team. How did you see it, Matt? How did Ukraine turn the game around?
Yeah, I think they started to spin Slovakia a little bit more than they had done in the first half as well. I thought they're a really good team, Ukraine, in transition. They've got plenty of pace in the side. And they started to utilise that. Mudryk had been quiet in the first half, but I thought second half he started to see more of it. They pushed the fullbacks further on as well. Zinchenko and Timchuk actually in the first half got forward pretty well anyway, but Zinchenko started to play much higher on that left-hand side. They just started to commit more bodies forward. They had to, being a goal behind, they had to do something to try and get themselves back into it. And they were braver and they started to commit bodies further up the pitch. They started to press higher and obviously the substitutions made a difference as well.
And you could see the emotion on the Ukraine players' faces at the end when they went over to their supporters. This clearly meant a lot, didn't it?
Yeah, really emotional scenes. I think Yaremchuk was actually in tears at the final whistle as well. It was a fabulous moment for them. It really opens up Group E as well. Then we're at the Belgium-Romania game tomorrow as well. So looking forward to that one. If Belgium win it, all three teams on 3 points going into the last game, it's going to be, you know, really intriguing end to this group. But yeah, there was very emotional at the back end of that game. And as I say, it was a big moment for Ukraine to get the 3 points.
The Belgium match will be your fifth of the tournament. You've been across games in Düsseldorf and Cologne, not too far away either. How have you found it getting amongst the fans, being at these matches? What's it been like in Germany?
It's been terrific. It really has. I mean, every nation has been well supported. None more so than the Scots. We were at the Scotland-Switzerland game. And everywhere we've been, that's what we've seen, really, Scotland fans. They've been in great spirits. They are absolutely everywhere. They're taking over Germany. But they've been in, you know, good form. good voice, but all nations have as well. We're at the Austria-France game. That was an excellent atmosphere. Two stadiums we're at in Dusseldorf and Cologne are both brilliant and really sort of high stands. You get a really good atmosphere inside them. So the atmosphere has been great around Germany. But the Scots are in, I think, the best supported of all the nations here.
That's good to hear, Matt. We're going to preview the Belgium game later in the show. But enjoy it yourself, Matt. Thank you very much for coming on.
Cheers, Rob. Chris, speak to you soon.
The former Ireland midfielder, Matt Holland, joining us from Dusseldorf.
Yeah, some brilliant insights. One of the big things, Karen, from a Ukraine perspective was the team news actually at the start when Andrei Lunin was replaced in goal by Anatoly Trubin.
Yeah.
First of all, what did you make of that? And also, I guess, some a former goalkeeper's perspective. How hard is it to be part of that close-knit team when you know that only one of you can ultimately play?
I think let's be honest, everyone makes mistakes, and you know, it was unfortunate that Lunin's came in a major tournament. He's had such a good season with Real Madrid, obviously, but Trubin stepped up when the opportunity came, and you know, I thought he was very, very good today. I thought he made some great saves, and ultimately a few saves that probably managed to keep the tide with Ukraine when Slovakia were on top.
Should we get the thoughts of one of Ukraine's players actually now? Let's hear from Ukraine's Oleksandr Zinchenko.
When you do mistake on the pitch, the most important is how you react straight away after. So it's already gone, it's already in the past. We are all human beings, we are doing mistakes. But if you go down and you give up, there is no chance you can come back in this game. So that's why even after 1-0, all of us, you know, we were trying to push each other off and on the pitch especially. And that's what we showed in the second half. I mean, we were trying to score goals even after 1-0 down. And then we were going again, again and again. And when we play like this, I think for the opponents, it was super tough.
From a Slovakia point of view, Chris, how did you see it?
Well, after beating Belgium, remember, probably the shock of the tournament.
Brilliant
so
result,
far.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the performances, definitely. Then to be in the lead and at that stage be heading through, it would have been pretty historic. Of course, Slovakia played a major role in Czechoslovakia winning this tournament in the 70s. They had the majority of the starting 11 in terms of the two nations now, but this really would have been something to go through with a match to spare. So from that sense, having led the game, to concede so late, of course, will be a disappointment. I think the fact that they have more than competed again will give them great confidence going into the last game in Frankfurt against Romania. And again, they're another team who I wonder if you told them, would you take going into the third match with a really good chance of going through it and in your own hands? Maybe the answer would have been yes. So, and they still very much have that.
They do. Francesco Calzona, their head coach, said of the defeat, we faced a team that needed a victory to stay in the hunt. And that's absolutely true,
yep,
isn't it? He said, we are the Cinderella team in this tournament. The fact they were fighting to go through to the round of 16 is already significant. And I think this is the case for a number of these teams. And we look at what happened with, I think, Scotland, Switzerland in particular, mm-hmm, the other night. If you're in it in the final group game, you're in it, you know, knowing a win or something will take you through. A lot of these nations are taking that.
And this arrives because we have these best third place teams that go through. So if you lose your first match, it's a blow, but it's not terminal remotely. In fact, if you lose your first two, it isn't necessarily. You can go through with 3 points. And I do think it means that there are very, very few, maybe even zero at this Euro, because it has been so compelling, matches that kind of what you call a dead rubber. Whereas if it's just the top two who go through, that can be done and dusted after the opening two matches. That will not happen at Euro 2024.
Chris, a reminder of the standings then in this group. Belgium and Romania play on Saturday in the same group.
Yeah, and we will preview that game in full later on. But this is how it looks at the moment. Romania, well, three teams have 3 points, first of all. So Romania are top, a goal difference of +3. Then come Ukraine second, because they won the game, ahead of Slovakia. And Belgium, maybe surprising some at the moment, bottom of the section, but they've only played one game. So there is a chance by the end of Saturday that all four teams in Group E could have 3 points, which would make match day 3 Pretty exciting.
Wednesday, the 26th of June, Slovakia take on Romania in Munich, and it's Ukraine versus Belgium in Stuttgart. Raul Ashif has been in touch on X at Euro 2024. Woo! I think I've done that right. Woo! What a win. I was not expecting this win. Good luck, Ukraine. They're up and running.
I was looking forward to how you read that.
Yeah.
I think it's more, woohoo!
Yeah, that's better. I think that's right. Okay, some big games to preview. Let's never do that again, by the way. Some big games to preview, including Turkey versus Portugal. But first, here are your other Euro headlines. Scotland defender Kieran Tierney's been ruled out for the rest of Euro 2024. Heartbreak doesn't cut it, said the 27-year-old, after a hamstring injury forced him off in the draw with Switzerland. It's a blow before facing Hungary in that huge final group game, admits Scotland assistant John Carver.
He's got an issue with his hamstring, and as we speak, he's heading home to be assessed by Arsenal. And that's all I can really see at the moment. They'll obviously give you updates as they have it. But he's obviously extremely disappointed. He's a young lad, he's got plenty of time, and he's got to make sure that it's right for his return.
England have issues on their left side too. Luke Shaw still not training with the group and is doing individual work as he looks to play for the first time in 4 months after a muscle injury. England were back at their training base today, and the 10 players not involved in Thursday's draw with Denmark were out on the pitch.
Spain's Jose Perez has been speaking about how much he's enjoying Euro 2024 after his surprise call-up. The Real Betis forward got his first cap this month, scoring in a friendly win over Andorra before coming off the bench in Thursday's win over Italy.
The moment has come. It's time to enjoy. It's been many years where you sacrifice, you work hard, you know. And then this moment is a special moment, and I thought, listen, I'm going to enjoy this moment. And that's how it went. I'm proud of myself to make the debut in a Euros. And yeah, it could have been even better with the chances I had if I could have scored, but happy with the minutes I had. Hopefully more to come.
Remember, Spain are through as group winners, so we'll see if Jose Perez gets a start in their final group game against Albania.
And Germany are already through to the round of 16 as well, so their players have been treated to doner kebabs at their training camp. Check this out. Striker Dennis Undav said, "It was wonderful, but now we're back to having pasta and vegetables every day."
Oh, no. How depressing that must be. You get that one taste of it and they say, right, back to the healthy stuff now. Karen Bardsley, former England goalkeeper, is with us. 6 major championships, I think, with the national team. I'm sure you've been asked this loads, but did you have any food trucks turn up during your time as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, actually, because at Man City, we had a pretty tough run of games. This probably would have been back in like 2017, 18.
Yeah.
We had an ice cream truck turn up at training, and our manager basically wanted to reward us with something a little bit different. And, you know, we just got the run of an ice cream truck for a good couple hours.
How much of a treat is that when you're so dedicated in terms of looking after yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit weird. It felt like it was almost a trick. We're like, what's this? You know, you're setting a trap.
What, like a trap? Yeah. Who's going to eat the most, etc.
But no, it was good fun. I think we all recognize that we work hard and everyone needs some balance in their life. And, you know, I got in the truck at one point and started pouring everyone else's ice creams and, you know, the cones and stuff like that. So it was a good laugh. It was a good team bonding thing as well. But I hear what they're saying in camp, you know, like the food does get super boring. So in terms of having something a little bit different to stimulate the palate, as it were, it's always welcome.
Yes, good news for that Germany squad for sure. Okay, let's get back to the action then. After Ukraine's victory over Slovakia in Group E, Romania know they will be through to the round of 16, at least as the best third place team, one of the best third place teams, if they beat Belgium.
Oh, it's given away, and this could be really costly for Belgium. Good save. Castiles doesn't stop the second one, though. Slovakia have stunned Belgium. Nicolas Stancho! Ukraine's error punished emphatically. Nicolas Stanciu gives Romania the lead against the run of play.
Yeah, Conor McNamara on that commentary of the victory as well that we mentioned. This is, of course, the possibility that Belgium win, as you mentioned, Chris, all sides could be on 3 points.
I'd absolutely love that, to be honest. From a neutral,
it'd be good for final day, wouldn't it, obviously, group stage.
It certainly would. And we also mentioned, Karen, about the Belgium loss may be one of the great surprises so far. Mm. So how do you think that kind of all-star group led by their captain, Kevin De Bruyne, will have analysed the game, picked apart the game, and got themselves ready for this huge second match?
Yeah, they'll be really disappointed, obviously. I think there's so many talented players in that side. And, you know, they started out relatively well. I think there was some real excitement in the first, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then it just kind of started to kind of go astray a little bit. I think Slovakia started to kind of get their rhythm and start to pull the game back a little bit, you know, similar to what we saw against Ukraine as well today in terms of that solidity in the midfield. Ultimately, I think just more structure all over the pitch. Yeah, I appreciate there's a fluidity and a freedom to this Belgium side, but ultimately it comes down to just being more ruthless in front of goal as well, because there were plenty of chances.
Well, let's get to that and hear from Belgian boss Domenico Tedesco on his striker, Romelu Lukaku.
Rom is, you know, he's not 20 years old anymore, but Rom is very professional. You know, he has that much experience. He went through many, many situations and he always came back even stronger. We are really sharp, but it was also the case before the first match. Now, of course, after losing it, you observe also a little bit more. We don't need to change so many things. This is our opinion. We just stick to the plan. I think we are ready. We focus on this game. We want to be focused from the very beginning, and that's exactly what you need against this opponent.
Axel Witsel out of the game as well. Chris, they've had injury problems at the back coming into this tournament, haven't they, Belgium?
They have, and they'd very much like some of those back. We saw Yannick Carrasco play as a left-back, which I don't think necessarily Tedesco would have done if he had all those.
He's played as a wing-back, isn't he?
He has, so, and it will be interesting. We talked about this, I think, the night when Belgium were beaten, how well Loïs Openda played when he came on. So whether we might see him and Lukaku paired together, if not from the start, again at some stage during the 90 minutes.
Do you think it's possible, Karen?
Oh, whether he's going to do it or not, you know, it would be interesting to see what happened, because I think they are quite different. But, you know, I thought you're absolutely right. I think Openda did make a big difference when he came on. And either one, I think, you know, in terms of Lukaku, yeah, he's got his record. But I don't know. There was such, like, the XG, like, was nearly 2, I think, in that game. And they would just be so, so frustrated not to be able to put any chances away. So it's not like they're creating. So ultimately, I don't think it really matters who goes up front.
Okay, let's get the latest from the Romania camp ahead of this game. UEFA reporter Cristina Tacchi has been following the team and joins us. Cristina, thanks for coming on again.
Hello again and good evening everyone from Cologne this time.
Glad you've got there safely. Look, brilliant game from Romania on match day one. Are we expecting any change from the team that won so convincingly?
Actually, not really. Everybody's talking about this and making predictions. But from my information, Coach Iordanescu is not going to change the team much. He's going to be on pitch tomorrow with the same exactly 11 that he played against Ukraine. There are some questions about if Valentin Mihaila is going to be on pitch as a starter, but everyone says, and also the staff of Iordanescu is saying that they think that Coman, Florinel Coman, is going to be starting the match tomorrow. So not many changes.
Cristina, you've been travelling around with the team, of course, and speaking to the players, including ahead of this huge game when, of course, Romania could go through, actually, with a win. And you've been speaking to Radu Dragușan.
We know that Belgium is a very strong team. They are number 3 ranking in the world. So you just say the teams they play, it's only top level. You say Roma, City, Arsenal, and I can go on. So, yeah, we know we will face a strong team, but we will be ready.
How is the mental of your teammates and yours, of course, before this match?
We are very good. We are confident. We, after this victory against Ukraine, gave us a lot of energy, a lot of confidence. And we want to bring that on the field tomorrow.
How impressive was he on match day one, Cristina? And how important will he be tomorrow night?
He'll be, I think, one of the most important players, him and also his pair in defense, Andrei Burka, because I had a question also earlier in Slash interview about this pairing and this fourth team in Romania's defense, because they work perfectly together and we're expecting to see them again tomorrow building this like defense wall, you know, against Belgium. So yeah, Radu Dragușin and also Andrei Burka are very, very important for us tomorrow. Because of the fact that Radu met Lukaku in some matches before, and I think he's going to be the man to stand against Lukaku.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting head-to-head. Has the result changed the expectation levels amongst the fans that are around Germany now?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. It was a great like interest for this new generation of a national team here at Euro, but now it's like the highest one, and everybody has great expectations from them. It's also some kind of pressure, but also, as you could see in the Ukraine match, the supporters are like very there with them, and we're expecting tomorrow here in Cologne like thousands of Romanians coming. I know, in fact, that there is going to be a very organized group of Romanian people that will be traveling to the stadium, chanting and singing, and so it's going to be spectacular.
You told us this before match day one, and it was incredible, actually. So I imagine it will be that vivid yellow all around Cologne. Christina, we're going to put you on the spot here. Romania through to the last 16. If they beat Belgium, are they going to do it tomorrow?
Yes, I can. I can say that today that I believe that Romania can beat Belgium tomorrow.
That's the spirit, Christina. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Have a nice evening. Thank you.
Our Romania correspondent, she's confident, Chris.
Yeah.
She's confident Romania are going to do it again.
I like it. I mean, why not? They played so well in that first game, didn't they?
They certainly did. Okay, let's move to Group F now to take a look at Turkey versus Portugal.
Tetajvili losing it. Arda Güler now for Turkey. Yeah!
Yeah, it was a great victory for Portugal late on. And we'll start by focusing on them. Karen Bardsley with me, Rob Daly and Chris Parrott. A last-minute winner, Francisco Conte sour with that goal. What does that do to a team early in a competition, Karen?
Oh, it's enormous. You know, I think when, you know, you're not particularly converting your chances, or, you know, you're quite lucky in a situation, or maybe you're not getting the rub of the green here and there, knowing that kind of luck is sort of on your side, and that determination to put the ball in dangerous areas and be in the right place at the right time gives you kind of faith in what it is that you're doing. It helps you trust the game plan. It helps you trust that, you know, just by that determination and trying to do the right thing, that you're going to get opportunities. And I think that's massive, you know, particularly just making sure, you know, you meet that first objective of getting out of the group stage. But yeah, it certainly wasn't comfortable for Portugal a lot of the time.
We've had so many late goals at Euro 2024. It's been brilliant. Rafael Leao, Karen, before this one, was in the press conference and he admitted he's not sure if he's going to start. He did on match day one, but he pointed to Conceição and Diego Jota and all this other quality that Portugal have. I mean, their squad goes very, very deep, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's stacked. I mean, not only, you know, do you have Cristiano Ronaldo and you've got Silva, you've got Diogo Jota on the bench, you know, you've got Nelson Semedo, Inacio, you've got just a plethora of players, Paulinho, Matheus Nunes. I mean, it's amazing, I think, to be able to have that depth. You know, as a manager, you think, oh, I'd love to look back at my bench and go, actually, I could put so-and-so there, I could put so-and-so there, and know that your substitutes are going to make an impact on the game. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that aren't as fortunate to be in that position, so... Yeah, it's surprising when a player like Leao isn't sure if he's going to get on the pitch, because he was certainly impactful and outstanding. But, you know, with a player like Conceição as well, you know, he looked bright. He looked like he was excited. He looked like he knew what his role was within the squad as soon as he came on. And, you know, yeah, he got a bit lucky in terms of the ball falling at his feet, but ultimately he still had to put in the back of the net. And we saw in previous games, you know, same sort of situation with France this evening, and then Belgium not too long ago struggled to convert.
Well, let's hear from the Portugal boss now, Roberto Martinez, who's been praising opponent Turkey.
It's a team that he found two wonderful young talented footballers. I think the case of Arda Güler and Yildiz. They are very young, talented players that they bring an essence of unexpected talent or unexpected actions to a Turkey side that they've got a lot of good experience. And that mixture makes Turkey to have very, very interesting ingredients. Against Georgia, we saw it all. The two goals, the first two goals are full of quality. I don't think you're going to find better technically. Quality finishes than the two, and then the last one. So the mentality, the personality, I think Vicenzo Montella has built a very well balanced team.
Roberto Martinez there, who surprised people, Chris, with that team selection in the opening game.
Yeah, he did. Kind of playing three at the back, but even that was quite an attacking three. And then ahead of that, just kind of a who's who of attacking technical players, led of course by the evergreen Cristiano Ronaldo, who was close to scoring on match day one, and one might suggest that he's likely to get on the score sheet if indeed Portugal can. This is a really, really big game. And actually, I think, and I know we're going to get on to their opponents now, I think this could be really entertaining and really exciting, dynamic attacking football.
OK, well, let's go to our Turkey correspondent who's with the team, Aydin Güvenir. Aydin, thanks for coming on.
Hello, you're welcome. It's a pleasure for me to attend here.
Let's discuss the mood in the camp after the Georgia win. What has that been like? How have the Turkish players been, the staff, since that victory?
Yeah, of course, they are so happy. They are a little bit relaxed because there was a high pressure on the team because in their five previous tournament attempts, Turkey had never won or had never take a point from their opening games in Euro Championship finals. Because of the win, they were very happy. But head coach Montella told in today's press conference that, okay, celebrating is okay, sometime is good, but it can be cause lack of concentration, something like that. So he said, let the fans celebrate for a couple of days and we need to focus our next game and concentration. So yes, they feel themselves a little bit relaxed and preparing for the next game.
You mentioned Arda Güler. How much focus has there been on him in the Turkish media amongst the other journalists following the team after that brilliant goal against Georgia?
Of course, since from he was 16 years old, Turkish media had followed him and showed attention towards him too much because he is very talented and shows his skills since he was 16 in Turkish Super League with Fenerbahce. And actually, just 1 year ago, Euro 2014 qualifiers, he scored his first goal with the senior national team level against Wales. And he scored same goal like in Georgia game. So in the country, we are very familiar with his goals. Even he is 18 years old, but people are very familiar with his goals. So yes, I can say that he is the center of interest from Turkish media. But even he is 18 years old, I observed that he can manage these interests very well.
And Aydin, we saw wonderful noise and colour from the Turkey A supporters in Dortmund for that game against Georgia. They're back in the same city, the same stadium. Do you expect more of the same tomorrow?
Of course. As you know, there are so many Turkish citizens are living in Germany, but for these games, also the people who are living in Turkey will also attend the games. So it will be a nice combination of them. And in press conference today, player Kerem Aktürkoğlu mentioned that they were red in previous game and we were in the field with red jersey. Tomorrow we will wear our white jersey. And we are inviting them to wear white and let's make the yellow wall this time as a white, he said. So tomorrow, like Georgia game, there will be big interests, big audience, big love in the Portugal game from Turkish fans.
Aydin, great insight. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Rob and Chris. You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here. Have a nice evening. Have a nice show.
Great to get Aydin Güvenir, our Turkish correspondent, on the show. Karen Barsley, putting you on the spot. Brilliant game. What's going to happen?
Oof. I just have this feeling, I don't know why, but I fancy a 2-1 win for Portugal. And I think, I'm just going to put this out there, I think Fernandes is going to score from outside the Italy area. Mm. Just a little curler. I don't know. I just, long range shooting is the thing, you know, right now.
It is. You've seen so many goals like that, haven't we?
Absolutely. That ball seems to absolutely fly through the air.
Yeah, I fancy a belter.
Okay, well, let's see if Bruno Fernandes can step up and if Karen can. You heard it here first. Okay, still to come, we'll look ahead to more action at Euro.
Euro 2024 in Germany has sustainability at its core. All group stage matches have been organised to reduce travel, with teams travelling by train rather than plane as much as possible. If you're lucky enough to have tickets for this summer's tournament, you can play your part too by taking the train to matches, with discounted train travel across Germany for all ticket holders.
A reminder, you can make changes to your fantasy football team ahead of tomorrow on the Euro 2024 app, which has everything you need for the tournament.
It certainly does. And the other match in Group F is Georgia against Czechia. I think this is another section which is going to be really, really interesting as we head into match day three.
Let's hear from Czechia midfielder Antonín Barák now. He's been speaking with UEFA reporter Ondřej Žalamal.
We are ready. We must thinking just about us, not about our opponent, because Georgia has quality players. They have two really top strikers, Kvaratskhelia and the other player that they are really strong there. But we must much more concentrate on our football, what we expect from this game, and just put our game in this match. It will be, I think, so important for us.
You spend a lot of time defending. Do you expect a different kind of game tomorrow?
For sure. The Portugal and Georgia, it's two different teams that for sure it will be a little bit different. Yeah, Portugal put us under pressure and it was like first half was so difficult for us. We lose a lot of energy. We didn't control good the game. I think that in this game it will be totally different and we will be much more with the ball.
Yeah, Antonín Barák talking about a change of mood from the team that lost to Portugal.
Yeah, and it was interesting listening to the Czechia coach, Ivan Hašek, talking about the lineup. Said, I'll never reveal anything about my intentions or about the 11, but it's possible there could be more than one change. And I found this interesting as well. He was speaking about the Georgia coach, Willy Sanyol, and he said, when I was St. Etienne coach in France in 2006, we were interested in signing him. It didn't happen. His expertise comes from French and German schools of football, and he's the right man for the job. He understands football perfectly, which was glowing praise for his opposite number.
Yeah, he's done a great job taking them to their first major finals. And for Georgia, can their main player get his first Euro goal?
Richa Kvaratskhelia, a main person who can make a really difference, and his role is also priceless, because not only for the national team, but also his impact on club football or youth football is impossible to measure how big it was, because he became a best player of Serie A and best youth player of Champions League in a previous season. And this makes motivation for every young player.
Here he comes, Kvaratskhelia scores! The Champions League has a new start, and he is from Georgia.
And it can't really be understated. Kvaratskhelia is a superstar. a megastar back in Georgia. And it's understandable, Karen Bardsley, because he's so vital to this team.
No, he is. He's a terribly exciting player, Kvaratskhelia is. And I think, you know, he's really exciting. He's quick. He's balanced. He can change direction. He can go left, right, and keep the defenders guessing. He can wrong foot you in a heartbeat. And he changes pace and he forces defenders to kind of stop and then go. He goes full speed. So it's really difficult to predict what he's going to do. But, you know, he's kind of got a free role at Napoli. And we're still trying to see how that kind of translates into this Georgian side. And I think you're starting to see him out on the left and then drift central a bit more. But, you know, what he can do in terms of running at defenders, going 1v1, I think he's a really creative threat. He creates space. He also threads passes. He provides cutbacks into the area and he can score, but he can't do it all alone. So he's going to need some help from his midfield in particular, I think, and his fullbacks if they're getting forward.
Yeah, this match, Georgia against Czechia, taking place in Hamburg, and it is the early game on Saturday. These are the Group F standings going into what is potentially a decisive day, actually. Turkey and Portugal both have 3 points. Czechia and Georgia have zero. So Turkey and Portugal could go through if they win their game and the other result goes their way. And potentially a defeat for Czechia or Georgia might end their chances of reaching the last 16 as well.
OK, let's switch things back to Friday's games, Chris. A reminder of the scores.
So finished Slovakia 1, Ukraine 2. That very, very late winner for them. Poland 1, Austria 3. And Netherlands 0, France 0. And N'Golo Kanté, for the second match in a row...
No.
Player of the match. What a tournament he is having.
And what a decision by Didier Deschamps to bring him back. I imagine that Dutch goalkeeper Bart Verbruggen was very close. He spoke to our reporter after keeping a clean sheet.
It's a bit of a funny one, I guess. Bit of mixed feelings. Of course, you're disappointed that you don't win the game because you want to win every game, and especially against a good opponent like France. But on the other side, you know, a clean sheet, point is a point. On to the next game. It felt solid for me. I think I made 2 saves. That was it. And for the rest, the defense, and it's the whole team, actually, you know. Also, the midfielders and the attackers, they help us a lot. And we were solid. And I think today was a case of if you can't win it, then don't lose it. So you've done that good, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus from both camps at full-time. Karen Bardsley, it's been great to have you on the show again. What's next for you at Euro 2024?
Oh, well, we've got Germany and Switzerland coming up, so that's something that we're going to have to get my eyes across. So it's been, you know, I'm really, really looking forward to watching Germany in person. I think I'm hoping that they just take it up another level, because I don't think watching them on telly has kind of done them justice. So, yeah, it's going to be a fabulous game.
And you can treat yourself to a doner kebab, maybe after the game as well. Karen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Chris, and that's all we have time for.
Yeah, another action-packed Euro show. Thank you for listening. We're on air every match night, minutes after the final game, on both the Euro 2024 app and at Euro2024.com. It's around 11 p.m. CEST that we go on air. And of course, this show also available as the official podcast. Please subscribe using your favourite podcast provider.
Let's finish the show with some of your messages. Many of you have been getting in touch on X at Euro2024. Extra Time 99 says, that is a world-class performance from Austria. Ranić doing magic with that team. And Shabazz says, what a great day. Clapping hands emoji. The game of football wins today. And a reminder, more to come, plenty to come. We're going to be back on Saturday night to review the day's action between many of the games we've been discussing on tonight's show. Georgia against Czechia, Turkey versus Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal. And of course, we'll see if Belgium can get their 4 first points as they play Romania. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the official Euro 2024 podcast, an IMG production for UEFA.